Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
It's the captain's guts you're analyzing. Are you aware of that, Spock?
Yes. And what is it that makes one man an exceptional leader? We see here indications that it is his negative side which makes him strong. That his evil side, if you will, properly controlled and disciplined, is vital to his strength. Your negative side, removed from you, the power of command begins to elude you.
What is your point, Mr. Spock?
If your power of command continues to weaken, you'll soon be unable to function as captain. You must be prepared for that.
You have your intellect, Joe. You can fight with that.
For how long?
Dan, are you locked in and ready to go?
I was born ready.
How about you, Jesse? Are you attuned to what you need to be attuned to begin this podcast?
I am tuned in, sir.
Tuned in. Good.
All right.
I am on the level.
You are on the rad.
Yes, on the rad to the max. You finally embraced it.
No, I haven't embraced it.
It's, Jesse, he is on the rad.
You have succumbed to it?
You know how on Parks and Recreation, you recall that show, right? Great show, Parks and Recreation, right? And the character of Ben. Ben came in the third season, or into the second season.
Ben.
What was it? Aryan Bim Ben from the, you know? Yeah. Aryan Bim Ben from Star Trek TAS, Star Trek the Animated
Wait,
Series.
Wait, who is Ben?
Bem? Aryan Bim Bem from the planet Bim Bum Boom.
No, I know who that. Who is Ben on Parks and
Recreation? Ben on Parks and Recreation is Leslie's
lover. No, that dude. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes,
okay,
Ben.
Geez.
And Ben, he's an outsider. And so Ben is always confused why the people of the town like this little Sebastian.
Yeah, right. That's the best.
And at first he argues against it and he's very confused, but eventually, just due to a combination of social pressure and practicality, he decides to simply feign an appreciation and understanding for the importance of little Sebastian. And
what does this happen to?
That is the stage I am at with On the Rad, with Dan's, with Dan's slogan that something is on the rad. The equation for Dan's slogan is X is on the rad.
So that Janet Snake hole shit was the funniest. So you're not actually a fan of it?
No, I'm not actually a fan of On the Rad.
You will.
B.
Right. On the Rad is his little Sebastian. That's what he's
saying. Exactly. I know it took us a little while to get there. But I hope that everyone has a thorough understanding of where we all stand. Okay, let's get things started here. This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
All hand phasers
must
be set on base cycle. Stunning force.
Stunning force. Stunning.
Okay. All right.
Stunning.
It was a very long clip.
Yeah, but that's our introduction. That means we're ready to podcast. We just got to set our phasers.
Are you ready?
Is that what you were trying to say with that
clip?
Yeah,
it's like we're setting our phasers on stunning force. Because that's what you do at the beginning of an away mission.
I set my phasers on kill, baby.
Well,
I don't know. I'm glad you. I'm glad you explained that because I wasn't getting.
Let's do it again. So welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
All hand phasers must be set on base cycle. Okay. Stunning force.
You already did that.
Yeah, I know. I'm showing you how that's an intro. It's like, get ready to go.
All right.
Get those men aboard fast.
Time to go.
Okay.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
All right. Okay. It's
my ship. My ship is mine.
It's Got Star Trek. It is the 256th episode.
That's content, man.
The 256th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. So,
that's a lot of
I've seen a part of myself no man should ever see.
Welcome.
Join the club.
Dan is hinting with his clever little collection of clips there.
Clever collection of clips.
Danny Long Clips.
C3.
Danny Long Clips is hinting at the fact or revealing the fact that this week we will be discussing the campy classic, The Enemy Within, from Star Trek, the original series' first season.
From way back in the day.
It is the fifth episode. I believe it is.
Attitudes are different.
I believe it is. It is the perhaps the fourth episode produced, but the fifth episode aired.
Oh yeah, that's how they did it.
But Paramount Plus says it's the sixth episode. Yeah.
Because Paramount Plus plops the cage up in front.
Yeah.
When you oughtn't be doing that, because that was the unaired pilot that nobody got to see until 1984.
What are you gonna do?
I don't.
Oh, I thought it was later than that.
I think 1984 is when it was first shown on TV. I think it was maybe available on the old VHS.
By the 90s.
But not Betamax? In the 90s. Not Betamax?
I think it didn't come out until after Betamax. Until after Betamax weren't,
Betamax
weren't
was
a thing.
Early on,
all right. Anyway.
Porn. Never mind. Pornography is the reason VHS went out over Betamax. Or one of the main reasons.
One of the main reasons. Go look it up.
Also,
kids.
The VHS could hold more, but like. But porn is actually
VHS was a lower resolution.
Yeah, I know, but right, the VHS was lower resolution, but it could hold more, so it was more convenient. But mostly, it was the porn industry was allowed to use VHS, but they weren't allowed to use Betamax. So
they weren't allowed.
Good,
because it was licensing issues.
Yes, go look it up, folks. It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
All right, on to more pressing things.
You want to kill me, don't you?
I do not want to kill you. I do simply want to proceed swiftly.
That's all, man.
Through the podcasting front matter.
I said, give me the brandy.
That was a wild looking bottle of brandy.
First, yeah, I know. You know, I hate when you say front matter, by the way.
Which is why I say it, because you keep making me say on the red.
Because it's like, it's like, you know, when I think of back matter, I think of like butt food.
Backcountry?
Like reverse butt food. Okay. When I think of
reverse
back
butt food.
Okay. See, now you're being really off.
And then,
so therefore, front matter would gross. Be.
Like, think of the other side of that. I don't even know what that would be, but it would be something horrible.
I don't know.
You see, you're creating a hell of your own. That's all in your head, man.
I want to live!
You really are, Dan.
Help me.
You have to free your mind.
Right. Look, I know this is supposed to be a funny podcast, but
help me.
We gotta spread it out, because otherwise it's too... I keep laughing. This shit's hilarious. Okay.
You can't kill me.
First, a quick reminder. Last week, we had Jesse from Crusher Convo on, and we had an excellent discussion of Attached.
Tight.
I do want to remind you, go check out the Crusher Convo YouTube channel to watch Jesse and I discuss Cause and Effect, because that was also really fun.
Yeah.
And I made a cool background that makes me look like I'm in a cool spaceship.
It was tight.
And it's nothing particularly impressive, but hey.
It was good, though.
So we were
solid AI.
We were honored to have Jesse on our podcast.
Yeah, that was fun.
Thanks, Agamus!
Then Patreon, of course. Snagamus. We do have a Patreon, and there's fun stuff over there if you want to check it out. That's Patreon. Patreon.com/ItScottStarTrek.
Hanging out.
You can get free previews of stuff there. There's all sorts of stuff. And tell us what you want. If there's something you want.
Talking about silly stuff.
If you want something, but there's stuff worth checking out. At least check out the previews. If you don't want to pay the money, then no problem. But you can check out the previews and get some modicum of joy, some brief modicum of joy. We guarantee you at the very least that.
That's nice.
It is nice. Okay, so.
That's nippy.
Well, we'll get to that. I do want to note that we will have a second break discussion-em-up. About the top.
I'm going to call them discussaronies.
About the top transporter accident episodes of Star Trek.
Discussaronies.
Okay. All right. Whether.
Disgusting ponies.
Whether it is a discussion-em-up.
Or a disgusting pony.
A disgusting pony or a discussarone. Well, we'll let you be the judge of that fine audience out there.
The Northern Virginia treat.
But that will come in the second break.
Discussaronies. The Northern Virginia treat.
Now, we continue to have a dearth of reviews. No reviews this week, so no haikus.
Man.
If there are no reviews, there are no haikus.
Maybe,
for those who don't know, Dan is doing custom haikus for people who make reviews.
You know,
don't people appreciate haiku?
You know, maybe it's the haikus that mean there's no reviews.
So Dan thinks what you all are saying
they thought
is
your haikus were snooze.
Yes, Dan thinks that you thought his haikus that he custom wrote were so shitty.
They thought it was bad news.
That you not only just eliminated the motivation that for people to do it, but that they didn't even want to do it out of pity. They didn't even want to
doing everything we can, sir.
Leave a pity review.
Your haikus gave them the blues.
Oh no.
Some kind of savage, ferocious opposite.
Well, ferocious.
Well, anyway, we'll still dangle it out there. If you leave a review, you'll get a haiku. And if you don't want a haiku, why don't you mention that in the review that you don't want a haiku? If you'd rather have something else like a sonnet or something.
No, there's no fucking. Why don't I make pentameter? Like the what was it the Hiawatha, the story of the Song of Hiawatha, that whole I'll write one of those.
That's a long one.
Yeah, what do you call those kinds of poems?
Those are like
an
epics.
Epic. Yeah, an epic. Okay,
I'll write an epic about your name. No, I won't.
Okay. Dan is
that's
not
a different
promising
podcast.
That. Let's stick to the
that's
old
some Patreon shit.
Haiku for a review. Okay, yeah. We do have a follow up voicemail from Isaac. Isaac left us a voicemail last
tight.
Week, and then this and we responded to it, and then this week Isaac has responded in kind.
All right, I can't wait.
So our asymmetrical conversation continues thusly.
G'day, guys. You did an Aussie section last week, or as I like to call it, just get Isaac's attention and ask him to send in another voicemail. You'd be glad to know I'm sitting in my ute outside the servo. It's a clear arvo, and I'm munching on an avo. You guys know what all that stuff means now.
You say he's in a yurt?
Now, last week, Isaac said that Isaac uses short words but long syllables. And that's the way he talks, and that's why he thinks holograms might be four syllables and not three.
Holograms?
I'd like to point out, I don't usually talk like this. Holograms. I talk like this. Holograms? So it's different. Like, that's not the way I talk. It's impersonating someone else talking. So I'd like to look at it, revisit it again.
I want him to
say
that
again. How many syllables is it? Now, the main issue is the sound at the end of hologram.
He did
because
it.
Hologram is three syllables, whereas holograms might be four. That's the issue. So I had a think, and I can think of another word that has that sound in it, but it's at the start, and it's very much a Star Trek word. It's space. Now, it sounds like a one-syllable word, but you're making two mouth movements, yeah. So dingus, so maybe that's two syllables too. So anyway, if you don't know, fly me over with your Patreon money. Don't get me accommodation because I'd like to think to myself, where would I stay?
Jesse was asking for the where would I stay last year because Isaac has regaled us with that in the past. Trip.
Where would I stay?
You could stay over there.
Trip Tucker when T'Pol invites him over to her house for a
to
sleepover.
To meet mom. He did all. He did the different holograms. He did
holograms.
Yeah.
Holograms.
So,
holograms. Holograms.
I agree about the. It was an interesting point Isaac was making about the word space because it is sort of like I was like it was like space. Space.
There's a lot of space in space.
But it's technically, yeah, it's a one syllable, but it's a space.
Ace.
Holograms. Graham cracker.
Yeah, but we still don't have a answer on the graham cracker. I guess.
Well, no. I mean, I you know.
Through
well, I don't know that we're going to get an answer on any of these.
Through the mathematics of language, it should be. Through the mathematics of language, graham should be two syllables. Mm. We had this discussion last week.
Oh, we did.
Because there's an H between the two A's, which defines syllable.
Right, right. Indeed,
consonant
there is.
And a vowel. Together.
All right. Well, thank you, Isaac.
That's not how it's pronounced.
Thank you, Isaac. Yeah. We will
that's
take
why
that...
it's an interesting question.
Well, it's English.
We will take that under advisement and consider it. And
It was certainly hilarious.
Anyway.
Oh my goodness.
Certainly hilarious.
We should just play it again. Can we just play it again?
We'll play it in the future.
Okay.
We'll save that. We'll play that on every podcast episode in the future. It'll just be a regular segment.
Thanks, Agamus!
That's really exciting.
So, now we can get to the episode, The Enemy Within.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought Dan might be playing the tape of Spock when Spock says something about every man has an enemy within. Did you record that? Did you get a clip of that,
oh.
Dan?
Oh, wow, you know what? I missed that.
I'm pretty sure he said that. Do a search on Chakotaya.net to see if he did indeed say
no,
that.
No, he didn't say that.
Are you sure he didn't say
he
that?
He said something about a duality, didn't he?
Oh, I thought he said something about an enemy within.
I am searching for the word enemy, and I only get one hit, and that's in the title.
Oh, well, then maybe not.
Really?
He did.
I thought he said it.
I thought he said something about having an enemy within. Search for the word within.
Somebody said that shit.
Well, he did have this part where he says, being split in two halves is no theory with me, Doctor. I have a human half, well, you see, as well as an alien half, submerged constantly at war with each other. Half. Personal experience, Doctor. I survive it because my intelligence wins over both, making them live together. Your intelligence would enable you to survive as well. That's not really anything like what you were saying.
No, no, but that I was kind mistaken.
Of. But that was kind of like, now I don't feel so bad. You made that. That was a fake out. Feel bad. Feel bad. Fake out. It's feel a feel bad. Fake out. It's a feel bad. Fake out. Woo woo woo. Right. Feel bad. Fake
well,
out.
This?
What you gonna do? It's a feel bad. Fake out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a feel bad. Fake out.
How about
me
this,
to
Dan?
You.
To make it up to you. For leading you astray.
It's a feel bad figure from me to you, yeah!
And causing you some, clearly, a not insignificant amount of stress.
It's a feel bad, it's a feel...
It's so stressful you must sing about.
It's a feel bad figure from me to you, yeah!
As
a feel
reward.
Bad figure from me to you.
Okay, real,
it's a feel bad figure from me to you.
Okay, real quick. This is amusing. It is mildly aggravating because before we started recording the podcast, Jesse and I were saying to Dan, we were saying we should be doing more a cappella singing on the podcast. And Dan was like, man, you guys can't. I'm not going to do that. Fuck you. That's stupid. And then so Jesse and we were like, okay. And now Dan is just sitting here singing songs all by himself.
I wanted it all to myself.
Apparently.
I don't need you.
What I was going to say, Dan, is that as a way to compensate you for leading you astray, I invite you to pick your favorite of the sound clips and give it a play right now. Just an ice, just out of context, just go for
Chief
it.
Chief O'Brien.
You can't hurt me. You can't kill me.
Okay.
You can. Don't you understand? I'm part of you. You need me. I need you. I don't need you.
Okay.
The music is tight.
Yeah, I guess you weren't expecting that.
I can sincerely say, in all honesty, I was not expecting
Yeah. No,
well done, sir.
Jesse, you're right. The music was right there.
You know, the brass going like...
And there was
music is great.
And if you listen to when he says the lines, it's in time. Like when he says... you can't hurt me, you can't kill me, that's like 5 seconds apart. And then when he busts in the middle with like, you can't, don't you understand? I'm a part of you.
Yeah.
That lasts for 15 seconds. Then on 2450, he says, you need me. Then 5 seconds later, he says, I need you. Then 10 seconds later, he says, I don't need you. They're all on like beats.
Yeah, totally.
They're all, it's like, there's a rhythm to like the way he's speaking. Listen to the whole thing and time it. It's really interesting how they like, they must have purposefully put those together like in a rhythmic fashion like that.
Yeah. There's a Sprechstimme.
It's a Rumspringer?
He said Sprechstimme. Is that what you said? Sprechstimme?
A Gewürztraminer?
A Sprechstimme.
Spätzle?
Yeah, okay. Keep him coming.
A Guten Tagen. Is it a Guten Tagen?
Guten Abend, meine Damen und Herren. Willkommen zu dem It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Chief O'Brien?
Also gut. What were we talking about? Oh, yes. The Enemy Within. The music, that clip that you just played, hilariously played, the music in that clip was a good illustration about how this episode had incredibly dynamic music.
Yeah.
It's these early episodes where they really orchestrated the hell out of them, and then they would reuse a lot of these clips later, but here they're not like chopped out, they're not like rearranged,
right.
This is like
the original
and so it's, I don't know, there's like a weird organic delicious comfy juicy vibe.
And they had two outros. This is the first one. And then the other one. That one was right after they found out that they wouldn't be able to get the transporter or something back up in time in like a week or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I can't remember what the first one was for.
Yeah. Well, all right. How about this? Let's get back to the beginning. just to lay out the foundation here for this conversation, this is, of course, Jekyll and Hyde, basically. Mm-hmm. It's one of those examples of Star Trek where sometimes Star Trek goes more sci-fi and sometimes it goes more sort of fantasy mythology style, but it'll try to cloak it in sci-fi. And that's what it's doing here. It's using the transporter to split Captain Kirk into a like lane side and like a monstrous side.
Is this the first transporter?
Yes, I think this is the first transporter accident that we've seen. I'm not 100% sure, but it's the fifth episode.
Could be.
I'm pretty sure, like, in terms of plot that relies on it's instigated by the transporter doing something weird. I believe,
and
this
I
is the
feel
first
like
one.
There's been like several this. I feel like several stills from this episode have made it into pop culture. Like, for example, like when we first see, I call him Bad Impulse Kirk because he's not evil Kirk. He's just like bad
Impulse. He's animal Kirk.
Animal
Kirk might be better.
But it was what they were saying. They kept saying, like, you know, you need both sides. You need the piece of shit side of you in order to be assertive and take command. But it was interesting because
we'll discuss more later. By the way, because that's crazy.
And it was interesting though that when Bones said, now you're the intelligent, thoughtful, logical kind, strangely enough, that's the kind with the most courage, as he was pointing out. Yeah. So I thought that was an interesting point where you need the assertive side to take command over people, but the real courage comes in being true and logical and intelligent,
like,
and calm.
Controlling your janks.
But you still need the other side of you. But
the idea of the story.
But what I was gonna say, saying real quick, is when first time we see Bad Impulse Kirk, we see his face, and I feel like that's a shot I've seen somewhere. And 100%. And then at the end, when there was the fight at the end, when they showed his face when he was all like throwing a temper tantrum on the bridge, it was interesting. They were like using dark lighting around him and shit. But it feels like
it was not
subtle. All these shots of like Bad Impulse Kirk, B.I. Kirk
shadow.
B.I. Kirk was, I feel like I've seen those all somewhere before.
It is. Well, it's a classic. This is a classic episode.
It's a good
reason.
Episode.
And again, it's
all right.
It's.
I thought it was excellent.
Okay. Well, we have a split of opinion here. Dan thinks it's excellent. Jesse thinks it's all right. I will reserve my judgment until later in the podcast.
Disturbing.
What? To generate some audience excitement.
Are you determining which one you like based upon what we say? And you'll pick. You'll agree with the person who you are least annoyed with at the time or something?
No. It is up to you both to convince me of your positions. No. I have an opinion. I'm doing it merely for entertainment purposes. So that the audience can listen to what I say and see if they can determine from my tone and the vocabulary I choose which direction I would go in terms of liking this episode or not. All right. In terms of that structure that I was talking about, what I mean is
structure.
Talking about like the mythology
structure.
Side.
Structure! So much structure.
A sci-fi version of this story is like, you know, you talk about like a clone or something. It's like there's some like possibility there. Like, it's a little bit more like science fiction.
I think I'm a clone now. Exploring
the idea of like having a clone or whatever. The idea of splitting a body and personality.
Yeah, it's absurd.
It's really wild.
It's less that it's absurd and more that it works best in the logic of like a mischievous fairy in the forest is teaching a human a lesson or a minor god is trying to make some point. And then the idea is that the story lets you examine philosophically, sort of play around with the idea of like, what is the relevance of your
So you think it was the episode is fine? They should have just picked a different means with which to separate.
No, I just think it's helpful to describe it that way because it is on its face sort of a silly concept.
No disrespect intended.
And there is no disrespect intended. But
not even a little.
But the concept that they push, or certainly the philosophy that Spock is pushing at the end of the episode, and presumably it's the position of the producers of the show, is this sort of fairly binary look, talking about halves, a good half and a bad half, arguing that you need to have these animalistic traits in order to be a leader and to make good decisions and stuff. And it's very pop psychology.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they drilled it in like through all aspects of the episode. There's one part where Spock goes like, I'm sorry if I'm offending you. It's just the way I am.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to, I think, draw a parallel between like B.I. Kirk, who is like,
Bad Impulses Kirk.
Bad Impulse Kirk.
I think of his eyeshadow.
Animal Kirk.
Other Kirk. Is that easier? I'm going to keep saying B.I. Kirk. B.I. Kirk.
By Kirk?
B.I. B.M. Kirk.
Is this a Spark, look, a the Spark story?
Look, the point I'm making is that... what is the point I'm making?
I have no idea.
Kirk says it's the way... Jesus.
It's gone.
Okay. B.I. Kirk, we cannot think of B.I. Kirk as a sympathetic character in the strictest sense because, like, he's a fucking asshole. But at the same time, just like Spock's like, it's the way I am... How can we completely dismiss him because he has no control over who he is?
Right.
He's not really B.I. Kirk.
A character. He's half a character. They're both Kirk.
Right. But like this Kirk, on the one hand, he's a total piece of shit.
You can't judge him separately.
It's not that I'm saying you judge him separately. Like, take them as separate people. How do you judge someone who is they are the way they are for means that are entirely outside of their control? The definition of bad Kirk is that they take all the shitty, assertive, like nasty side out of other Kirk, and they make this
sexual assaulting side.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that scene was really fucking disturbing.
That's what I'm talking about.
But like the point being is like it draws a fuzzy line because you look at an asshole. How much can you feel sympathy for your average asshole on the street, and at what point can you say fuck that guy?
And in this case, you mean asshole is in the derogatory term for somebody who's just like a complete piece of shit.
I don't mean a literal. Whole
I didn't think so, but I thought, you know, you were kind of on a roll there. I just wanted to make sure that.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I don't want people putting something in their head, and a vision in their head that would be unpleasant. Or you're driving to work.
Okay. Okay. So
you're thinking of a guy who's like, I'm a bad guy. I'm an asshole.
Think of a person in this world that totally sucks. And you're like,
I'm just trying to listen
you're
to
like,
a podcast.
Fuck that guy. Then you look at a bad ankle pulse Kirk. Do you say fuck that guy? Or is part of you No, it's part of you a little sympathetic simply because the definition of who he is he was the bad parts taken out of Kirk.
I'm sympathetic. I found sympathy, and I certainly by the end of the episode.
It's like a Tuvix.
Because I'm arguing that Bad Impulse Kirk is
reverse Tuvix.
Reverse Tuvix.
Bad Impulse Kirk is different than your average like piece of shit that lives on Earth because your average piece of shit on Earth has some agency. But Bad Impulse Kirk arguably has no agency for his actions because the definition of who he is to be a fucking asshole.
It's all magical.
I understand the point you're making. However, I also would add, just for the completeness of the argument, that there are people who may argue that a lot of the people who are assholes also don't, in fact, have agency because of some horrible upbringing or something like that.
And I'm not denying that either.
But I do know what you mean. Like it's a mythological tale where God has split somebody in order to make some point.
No, I totally agree with you that, yeah.
Deus ex machina.
That you can argue a lot of human behavior is like out of their own control, but you can't completely say that because that forgives everyone. You can't say that 100% because then you're forgiving everybody who is ever a piece of shit. And like, you're allowed to like put some agency on people. The point is bad Kirk has zero agency, whereas real people have some amount of agency, maybe not full agency. Bad Kirk, he was made by magic.
Bad
he was
Kirk.
Made by magic. So.
Although Lane Kirk has agency. By the way, you said human behavior. Isn't that a is that a Bjork song?
That is a Bjork song.
A Bjork song. I just wanted to confirm. That's human behavior. I like Bjork.
Although the scene when there was like the fucking with him and Yeoman Rand, like when he starts saying like, just a minute, Janice, just a minute. That was when I started feeling like really uncomfortable. I mean, the whole thing was uncomfortable.
Oh, it was a brutal scene.
He just went over to her room and he went in there.
This is the...
Do you remember the... either of you see Natural Born Killers? There was a scene where this crooked cop is like killing like a sex worker and he's like choking her. He's going, I'm just kidding. As he's like choking her. That's what this reminded me of when he was like taking her and being like, just a minute, Janice.
This is the fifth,
that part was like really upsetting.
This is the fifth episode.
And the aftermath of it was kind of fucked up too.
This is the fifth episode that aired, the fourth episode that was produced possibly, and it has sexual assault and a dead dog.
Didn't we do another episode where Rand was violated?
I don't know.
Possible.
But we have like you know, Kirk's going through emotional and substance abuse issues, and
just
then you got
that Saurian brandy,
and you've got this team.
That's a crazy.
You got this team slowly freezing together at like. At one point, it was negative 117 degrees.
They now, should have been dead like
question,
long before that.
Question.
Was it Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Was it Celsius or Fahrenheit?
It doesn't matter because...
I don't recall if they mentioned in the episode.
They don't,
it's bad either way.
They don't mention it, but...
At that stage, it doesn't matter.
Negative 117 degrees Celsius is
is
negative 178.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, so either way, close. You're fucking frozen. Like, they're frozen.
Yeah,
they're,
yeah.
There's no way they're not absolutely
no,
frozen.
No, I know. Yeah. I was
solid.
Yeah. It was completely unrealistic.
I would like to take the opportunity to...
But, you know, you don't want to see Sulu freeze.
To echo and support the opinion of Dr. Stephen Novella from the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe podcast. I share his opinion that while I am pro-metric in every case... I do prefer Fahrenheit to Celsius for a couple of reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, Celsius is not metric. It's not a metric measure. It
nobody
work.
Said it was.
It doesn't make
I didn't say anybody said it was, but a lot of people seem to think it is, right? And it has less resolution.
Because
simple
sometimes
that.
It's called centigrade.
It's got less resolution.
Nonsense.
I go by Kelvin myself.
Well, Kelvin, I'm okay with Kelvin,
word.
And maybe we come up with something new, but I like the resolution that
when you
is afforded
have three
by
digits.
By Fahrenheit.
It's the way I am.
72 degrees, just Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, all right, we got to take a break. When we get back, we will talk about some, not only this episode, but we will have our second break discussion up. Where we will discuss the top Star Trek time, or no, not time travel. We've done that already. The top Star Trek transporter accident episodes. Be right back.
I don't want to go back.
And we're back. Hello.
That coffee's taking too long.
We're back. Back from the break. And as...
He wasn't getting any coffee.
As promised, we have a second break. What was it? A disgusting elephant? What'd you call it? A disgusting peanut?
Disgust-em-ups.
Disgust-em-up.
A thoroughly polite dust-em-up.
No. It was a discussion-em-up is what I was saying. A discussion-em-up.
Disgusting...
But you said you.
Yeah, I said disgusting something, didn't I? Is it on record? Is it recorded? Disgusting pinup.
Disgusting pinup.
Disgusting em ups. Disgusting Justin. Disgusting. Disgusting.
Now you're just free associating.
I know. I'm hoping it'll come out of me, but it's not coming.
No, I don't remember what it was. But anyway, discussion mups, discussorino.
Oh,
was
that's
another
what
thing.
It was.
Disgusting pino.
I don't know. I do not know, Dan.
Disgusteronis.
Beefarino.
Disgusting ponies.
Oh, disgusting ponies.
Because I was saying disgusteronis.
Jeez.
A Northern Virginia treat.
Jeez, how could we have missed that?
I'm glad we got there in the end. I'm not sure about the audience, but I am glad. Okay.
Oh, it's a relief.
I've
seen a part of myself no man should ever see.
Famous transporter accident episodes
club.
Of Star Trek. So, I have a list here. It's probably not fully exhaustive. And the criteria for the list was transporter accidents that had some major impact on the plot, as opposed to there are some episodes where people abuse transporters, but it's not necessarily an accident.
Scotty.
Yeah, well, like Scotty in the, you know, holding himself
in the
buffer.
There's Thomas Riker.
All right, which episode is that? That's Second Chances.
There's the Discovery episode where Mbanga's child is living in the pattern buffer.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Is that a misuse?
Accident.
That's a misuse of transporters.
Yeah,
transporter
it's not. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. What I'm getting at. But Second Chances, you're right. TNG's Second Chances with the two sexy Rikers for the price of one. You get William Thomas Riker, and then you get William Thomas Riker, and then eventually one of the William Thomas Rikers, the more charming, fun, rascally one. He decides to take the name Thomas Riker.
There's a Lower Decks where the similar thing happens.
There
it's
is.
Exactly
right.
The same thing happens.
Exactly. That's a good one. Now, let me first say, in Second Chances, we've actually discussed a lot of these episodes. So Second Chances, we discussed in episode 157 of It's Got Star Trek.
Boimler.
Much Ado About Boimler, we discussed in episode 43 of It's Got Star Trek.
Whoa.
And that's when Boimler gets turned into
43
humming light being and has to go to the farm. That's a fun episode, fun early episode of Lower Decks. Any others that you can think of?
There was that worm that lived in the that when they went in TNG, when they were in the buffer and that worm alien was flying around.
Yeah.
I forget what happened with that, what episode that was.
Do you remember, you don't remember the name of the episode?
I don't even remember what the worm represented. It was some kind of like, it was making them see shit or something? Well, it was specters or something?
It was Barkley. Was
Phantasms?
It was Realm of Fear. We have not discussed that yet. It's from TNG, and that's when Lieutenant Barkley, who's already nervous about things like transporting, he starts seeing horrible eel creature monsters.
You were acting like a wild man.
In the transporter beam. But that's a good one. That's a good pull. What are some other ones? You guys are missing some like super prominent ones.
Well, we've only mentioned like two.
Well, keep mentioning them.
There was the one where...
I can't think now.
There was the one where there was the holodeck in DS9, and they used the holodeck to like hold people or something.
Yes, our man Bashir.
Yeah, our man Bashir.
We discussed that in episode 103.
Mm-hmm.
Of It's Got
Star Trek. I forget how the transporter played into that. Though.
It's because the
they had to use the transporter in conjunction with the holodeck. I remember because I was I think in that episode when we did the podcast, I was arguing that the holodeck, the transporter, and the replicator are all based around the same technology.
You may have been indeed doing that. Yeah. The premise of that was that
I was
The shuttlecraft holding a good portion of the senior crew exploded, and right before it did, they were able to beam them out, but because of a wacky, goofy accident. Their patterns had to be saved in the computer, and the place that had the most room to save them was in the holodeck somehow.
Wasn't the transporter to blame for the mirror crossover?
Yes. The mirror in TOS. Mirror, mirror, which we discussed in episode 60 of It's Got Star Trek.
60.
Although that's an interesting one because even though
it was
episode 60, we had recorded it well in advance because that was a bank episode.
We recorded it rather early on.
Rather early. Mirror, mirror. But yes, that was the classic whoopsie daisy. We're all in an evil universe. Another funny one where it's like, this is a universe. Everyone's a piece of shit. Asshole universe. It's similar to Enemy Within in some ways. It's an extension of the idea of the Enemy Within. Which, of course, has yin-yang Jekyll and Hyde Kirk, and that's what we're discussing this week. There's a couple other big ones that you're missing, though, that we've discussed.
Yeah, I'm having trouble recalling.
Any thoughts? There's one not too long ago, and it has one of our favorite phrases.
Is it the scoundrels?
Yes, that's right. It's scoundrels. It's TNG's, the TNG episode.
Scoundrels.
Scoundrels, which we discussed.
He's my number one dad.
which we discussed in episode
Rascals.
249. Yes, it's Rascals.
I'm not joking, Lee.
But I much prefer scoundrels because they were scoundrels in their own way. Yes, episode two.
Scamps.
249 of It's Got Star Trek, if you'd like to hear us discuss that.
He's my number one dad.
Yes. How about...
He's my number one dad.
We just passed this... we just passed, a few weeks ago, we just passed the date that was in this a prominent part of this episode. There's a particular episode that has a particular date, and some event happens on that date.
You know, the word particular is mostly redundant in its usage.
Particular?
Yeah, using the word particular is most of the time when people use it, they use it redundantly.
Using it redundantly by saying this particular date?
Yeah, you could just say this date. You don't have to say particular.
But what I'm attempting to do, and I will accept your observation as being valid.
Don't use so many words.
What I'm attempting to do,
please,
is I'm using the word particular as an emphasizing word in order to guide the audience into understanding that I'm talking about, and not just the audience, you two as well, that I'm talking about a specific date versus some random date. But you're right, it may be a superfluous word.
You can't afford the luxury of being anything less than perfect.
I don't think so.
Well, the long and the short of it is, I'm talking about the two-part episode from Deep Space Nine, past tense.
Past tense,
because they travel back in time through some sort of transporter
accident.
There's
so many, it's hard to really...
I forget exactly the deal. It's because of some chronoton waves or some business.
Chronoton waves?
Quark was involved, don't worry about it. But we discussed that way back in episode 28 of It's Got Star Trek. That was past tense. Another famous one, we talked about it earlier this episode. What's the opposite of the enemy within?
The friend outside.
It made me think of like a serial killer.
What about like looking what about what about Gary Mitchell? How did he get all wacky?
That wasn't Transporter though. That was just because they went to the edge of the universe.
You're talking about Tuvix.
I'm talking about Tuvix.
Tuvix.
Tuvix is the opposite, not the friend outside.
You can't kill me.
But friend yes, outside. Tuvix, and we discussed Tuvix in episode 64 of It's Got Star Trek.
Another episode with disturbing imagery in it.
It was, yeah. And then when Tuvix is walking around, he's like, oh, you're my friends. Don't kill me.
I mean, the enemy within, like, for the most part, was like, it was like, you know, like you said, it was magical. It was kind of corny. I enjoyed it. But, like, it was mostly kind of like, it was mostly fun, even though it was, like, kind of serious stuff. But some of the subject matter they dealt with was pretty heavy. Like, like him, like, fucking chugging brandy, you know, like, being like, I need my brandy.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, the whole... You know, scene with Yeoman Rand.
There's some assault going on.
That the Yeoman Rand stuff.
It's not really sort of dealt with after.
You know, and I was saying the aftermath of that was fucked up because she was like, I didn't even. She said I didn't want to get the captain in trouble. Like, which she was like afraid to tell.
It's not cool. This is not a progressive thing. But it's not time to discuss this. We're still discussing the best Transporter accident episodes. We're not done yet. There's a couple more.
No disrespect intended.
Including the next phase.
Well, I don't know.
The next phase.
Why I forgot that just now.
Remember the next phase? We discussed that in episode 84.
Phase is an ability on magic cards.
Well, yes. Phasing. Thank you, Dan. Thank you for that announcement. No, but the next phase is when Ro and Geordi phase out, but for some reason they can still walk through floors.
Yeah, right.
They can walk through walls, but they don't fall through floors.
Right. Is it like the shrunken shuttlecraft in Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, well, that wasn't a transport.
It wasn't transport.
I don't think. No. That was a wormhole thing or something.
Yeah, okay.
That was some sort of goofy, hilarious quantum thing.
Goofy, hilarious all right. quantum thing.
Now, there's a couple that are a little bit more obscure. For example, Daedalus from Enterprise. We haven't discussed this one yet. But that's where they're,
are you sure?
It deals with, it keeps coming up in the, like, Dan's algorithm, Dan's podcast selection
algorithm.
Actually,
I haven't gotten Daedalus in a while, but it used to get it.
But it comes up a lot, but it's often not the top one. But
those early lists.
What was the one that I always got the second part of?
Past Tense
Part
2.
Past Tense Part 2.
Yeah.
We did Past Tense?
We did both parts 1 and 2.
Both parts.
In episode 28. But Daedalus, it's an interesting episode.
Is that the one with the big claw? That's not the one with the big claw.
No. That's a good one, too.
That's the one about the robot space station.
Yeah, that's called Dead Stop, I think.
Okay, Daedalus, Dead Stop. Same thing.
Yeah. Daedalus is not my favorite episode of Enterprise, but it's all right. It's about the inventor of the transporter. So there's like some interesting lore in there. I don't know. It's just it's not that interesting a story, but we'll get to it eventually. Another Enterprise episode is Vanishing Point, which is an interesting one where Hoshi, and folks who haven't watched Enterprise yet, like during Enterprise, like they have transporters, but they don't really use them. They like using their shuttlecraft and stuff. Because they just use them for cargo because they don't kind of don't trust the transporters for people. And then slowly over the course of the show, they start getting a little bit more comfortable with it. And in Vanishing Point is when Hoshi has to use the transporter and she's sort of anxious about it. And then like some weird stuff starts happening. It's kind of a fun episode. Mm-hmm.
Sounds exciting.
All tickly when you get transported?
Probably.
Little tickles come
out.
Your consciousness is getting destroyed and then copied and replaced into some other entirely separate consciousness. Right.
Yeah, they're like vaporizing your old body.
It's actually quite horrifying.
It's like you die every time you transport.
And then two more that are worth...
I'm going to stay on the fucking ship. How about that?
Two more worth mentioning are Kayshan, His Eyes Open, which is when Boimler is split in two... Second Chances style. So like Riker, in fact, he uses his knowledge of Riker's accident to like save the day, but it results in a William Boimler being created. So there's like that whole thing. But the last one I think is for me, it's the one I remember the most is the transporter accident in Star Trek, the motion picture, where it's like the grossest thing ever, where the guy is trying to beam in and he gets turned into a lump of horrible flesh.
Oh no.
And they hear like all the screaming and stuff. And then you just
condition critical.
Yeah. Well, you hear the person over the comm. It might even be McCoy. I forget who it is, but the person over the comm, or maybe it's Chapel. I don't know. But anyway, the person over the comm says, "Enterprise, what we got back didn't live long."
Oh man!
Fortunately,
help me.
Yeah, because the guy's like, ah!
Oh boy.
Yeah. So motion picture that takes the cake for transporter accidents. Okay.
That was an astounding list.
Back to the astounding. Old, back to the old discussion. Back to the old discussion. You were talking about sexual assault. We can, you can keep talking about sexual assault if you like. Or would you prefer to talk about the dead dog?
Okay, well.
What's the more amusing thing to discuss on a comedy Star Trek podcast?
I don't know, because that dead dog died from sheer terror.
Yeah, I know. I know. It wasn't just like, oh, there's a dead dog. But then Spock's like, well, here's the deal.
Well, my hypothesis. Dog's psyche cannot handle such a.
Yeah, I buy it. I buy the argument.
The shock was induced by blind terror. No autopsy is necessary to know that the animal is terrified.
No
confused.
Autopsy is necessary.
Confused. That's also, like, not just terrified, but confused. That breaks my heart when it's confused.
Yeah. No, it really is. It really is horrible and upsetting.
But that's when Spock talks about the duality of human and Vulcan, which I think you might have gotten the enemy within. I really want to know what that line was where you thought it was an enemy within line.
I don't know why. I don't know. There's a bunch of crazy stuff in this episode.
I love how, so it was the unicorn bug dog or whatever, the uni bug dog.
Yeah, I know. It's like dyed pink.
Funky tail.
I appreciate that it was so very obviously a dog they put in a suit. They didn't make an attempt to, they didn't even put a mask on it to try to pretend it was anything else. It was like, yes, this is a dog. We put a coat on it, you know, and added some plastic antenna.
Some spine and some spooky.
And it was really like, it was going to bite, like, you know,
Scotty was really having trouble handling that.
It was just the most absurd attempt at like an alien like creature.
It's famous. It's so absurd that it's become famous.
It doesn't look like an alien creature. It looks like a dog. It looks like a dog with a coat, and that's all. It's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. Now, what's his name? I forget. I didn't catch the name of the crewman who fell off the fucking cliff, I guess.
Took a flop.
It was Fisher. Like,
Fisher.
Was that Fisher who fell off? Oh, that's right. It was Fisher.
He bloodied his hand up pretty good. You see that? There was a lot of blood there.
This episode also had Farrell.
It had a lot of people that are mainstays. Like Rand. The guy, Fisher, beams back, and then Scotty all scans him and is all like, magnetic. He's all like, oh my God, this shit's magnetic.
Yeah, you have some yellow ore.
I was like, that's not that interesting.
Yeah. And then after that, there's something issue with the transporter, and Scotty goes,
I'm acting like a burnout.
And I thought at first he was talking about Fisher, that Fisher was acting like some kind of hippie stoner burnout. But really, he was talking about the transporter getting fucked up.
Would be funny if he was a hippie burner stoner. Yeah.
It was the 60s.
When Kirk beams up, so they beam up Fisher.
I have no sympathy for clumsiness.
It's a little bit weird, the order of events, because they beam up Fisher, things go a little weird. Something obviously is not working properly. But then Scotty, I guess, runs a diagnostic. It looks like it looks like things are fine. He tells his other crewman or subordinate to go get some scanner thing to double check. But then he's like, before I double check, I think I need to double check. But before I double check, I'm going to risk beaming up the captain.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true.
Right? That's a little weird.
Because you got to get that captain up.
So he beams up the captain. And
we're doing everything we can, sir.
He had to go down to the planet.
And so this is not... No one would accuse this of being a subtle episode. It's certainly not...
Subtle bodies.
It's not a subtle episode.
No.
However, I think there's a lot to really respect here in Shatner's performance, even though, yes, there's the campiness of it.
Campy, that was the word I was looking for earlier.
But when Lame Kirk, he's the first to appear on the transporter pad.
No, it's Good Kirk. Lame Kirk
Lame Kirk.
Oh, because he's not assertive.
Yeah, and he's literally lame. Like, they make him lame. He steps off of the transporter and is all, like, limping around. And
Scotty's
Scotty's all, like, helping him. He's like, you should go see the doctor. You know, I don't know.
You should see the doctor.
Oh, sure enough, you should see the doctor.
The first point where we realize that Kirk is, like, lame, aside from him limping, which I didn't notice.
I thought that was an interesting thing, too. He's a lame guy, and he's limping.
Yeah, the first time I noticed it through the dialogue was when Spock says, you can't afford the luxury of being anything less than perfect. If you do, they lose faith and you lose command. And then Kirk responded with, yes, I do know that, Mr. Spock. What I don't know is why I forgot that just now. Yes. To me, that was like the moment when we realized, oh, it's not just some evil Kirk. It's a part of him, Kirk, which you could have figured out beforehand.
I was going to ask you guys, how do you think Shatner did in portraying both these halves. Because the reason why I bring it up is because
the
evil or animal or whatever we want to...
Bad impulse.
By Kirk. He's calling it.
He even scratched me. Impulse.
That's animal. That's pretty easy and straightforward, and Shatner's clearly having fun doing it.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. I don't care.
There's always the certain kind of lighting that they use.
Yeah.
But it is more subtle on the other side of the equation for the lame Kirk, where sometimes they're just telling us, they're having like the way they're having us guess that Kirk is acting lame primarily through how Spock and McCoy and others are reacting to him.
Right.
Spock in particular, who's just calling him out, calling him lame, being like, hey dude, you're being super like lame.
I liked how like when Kirk freaked out about that, when he was like,
I said give me the brandy,
and then like Bones looked at him with this combination of like, he was like sort of like anger, concern, and hurtness. And then like when Spock came up to
him, there was still a patient in sickbed.
And then when Spock came up to Kirk later, was like, but you know, McCoy's worried about you. It seemed like they were genuinely concerned for like his emotional well-being.
Oh, yeah.
So I felt like this wasn't just a crazy campy Kirk good and Kirk bad or whatever. There was actually some heavy emotional.
Like, has this dude finally snapped?
I think there was some like interesting.
Did they make him captain too young?
It was the episode wasn't subtle, but there were some nice subtle moments of concern and things
like
that.
I agree.
Yeah.
What was another not so subtle thing was when McCoy was treating Fisher in sick bay. Because, like you said, Fisher fucked up his hand pretty fucking bad, which I guess makes sense.
I took a flop.
Okay. So I don't know. You probably don't have the recording, but like it was just funny where he's there and he's all like, and his hand's all fucking bloody. And then Kirk is like, what happened? And he's like, I fell off the cliff. Or like whatever. Maybe it wasn't cliff, escarpment or whatever he said. But like, you're like, oh shit, you actually, like, you fell far, man. You got fucked up.
You got all yellow.
I fell off the bank, sir. Cut my hand.
But then McCoy is all healing him with one of those keyboard vacuums. And then
you mean this? And then, oh, wait. No, that's not it. Sorry, not that. You meant this.
Yeah. And then he squirts him with just like a fucking squirt bottle. It's like, is that a squirt bottle of vinegar?
That was one thing I noticed about this episode, that like sickbay had just like these like squirt bottles. There were a couple
hilarious.
Of them,
like,
just
what'd
like
you do? Take a fall on purpose so you get a little vacation?
Was that like futuristic back in the day? Those kind of squirt bottles? Style of like squirt bottle?
Could be. Maybe it was like
instead of the hypospray?
The latest in fucking technology for that type of shit.
I have no sympathy for clumsiness.
But they kept doing this interesting thing where, you know, especially at the beginning, they've got like Kirk keeps being in his like without a shirt on. Like, you still don't know he's super lame Kirk yet. He's just all like hanging out all smiling with
his shirt off.
He doesn't get like sort of more concerned and weak looking until like the problem has become more apparent that there's this doppelganger running around.
It was interesting, actually. I want to
balls is
when,
all small
when they gave.
Well, I mean, that...
it's the way I am.
It certainly rhymes.
Condition critical.
When they give the first captain's log, it's actually the captain's log is set in the future because they're talking about the doppelganger.
That was unique. I noted that. Yeah. He was like, I didn't know at the time, but this is what happened.
Yeah. You notice at the end, like, a bad impulse Kirk, even at the end when he was like, you know, trying to like do all the ship stuff, he still tried to take time out to visit Yeoman Rand again in her quarters.
Oh yeah.
He was like saying, oh, like, sorry about earlier. I'll talk to you about it later in your quarters. Like, oh my God,
eyeshadow Kirk.
It was awful.
Ugh. You know, I don't know how Rand can deal with Kirk at all after this whole thing, knowing that part of him assaulted her. But even if it was,
that's like reassignment
and,
shit.
Yeah,
like,
because even if it was like an unusual circumstance, it was still a part of him. Even if every like human on the planet would have done the same thing, because it's literally taking those horrible impulses out of everyone. Even if everyone is capable of that,
it's still like you have to look into the face of your like assault. Dude.
Right. Yeah. And it's not, and it's
assailant.
And
I'm
it's
sorry.
And it's not like I mean, said,
I kind of like the term
assault dude.
And it's not the same, because like on normal circumstances you could say like, okay, well, not everyone's like that. But in this case, you could argue that every single person who had their evil side drawn.
That's the argument the show is making.
The show.
I disagree with episode is saying
that. No, yeah. So I'm saying, that's what I'm saying is that like this show, and that's what I was saying earlier as to like why there's some amount of sympathy you can feel for Kirk, because what the show is saying is that
for B.I. Kirk,
is because he has no agency. Because
he's an animal.
He has no agency because that's how he is. And similarly, the show is basically saying if anyone had that part of them sucked out, they would probably be capable of the same sexual assault behavior that Kirk engaged in. Even though in the show that's the case, doesn't matter. It was still Kirk who did that to her, and I don't know how she'd be able to face him after that.
No, I agree that there's a lot. Exactly. There's a lot that's problematic.
That's what I'm saying.
Problematic with this, and we haven't even gotten to the end.
And everybody just kind of shrugs it off.
Yeah,
because the end scene is which is worth bringing up now because it also makes things uncomfortable. But this whole thing, as much as I find this episode very entertaining and interesting, and including, you know, having the understanding that this is sort of a mythological tale they're telling here, I disagree with the fundamental sort of pop psychology assertion that. That like the only thing keeping Kirk from raping people or whatever, like I find that is such a simplistic and actually almost potentially dangerous if the idea it feels very masculine. It's a very masculine philosophy, which is saying you're lucky that we're not being all rapey because like we could be, but we've got our shit together.
It's like that shit with like Pence. He was like, I don't ever stay in this alone in a room with
there
a
are,
woman.
There are men who have that opinion that the only thing keeping them from raping women is that they don't hire them for jobs and they don't associate with them because otherwise they might rape them. Like, and that's horrible.
And I want to be real clear because when I'm talking about like bad impulse Kirk being sympathetic.
No. Yeah.
I want to make it clear that that's according to the rules
of this episode.
Exactly. Yes. Like that kind of behavior. No, I don't have sympathy for that behavior. But in this case, because in the rules of the show, they're taking all agency
because
and self-control.
This is a mythological shit.
Because they're taking self-control away from Kirk.
And that's,
in the instance,
that's part of what makes it an
that's
interesting,
what the show is implying here.
It's an interesting thing when we're watching this episode is because so much of it is, it works well. The story is structured in an interesting way. And all the little things that play off each other resolve very interestingly, but then it is built on this framework of a philosophy that is problematic. And worse yet, you get the impression that not only are they not aware of that it's problematic, they think it's actually progressive.
Yeah.
And we've discussed this before, I think even last week, that you do see this in Star Trek where they do get a lot of things right in some awesome ways.
Yep.
Just a female yeoman in 1966, a yeoman being the captain's main assistant and advisor in a lot of
ways.
She's
just hanging out in his quarters.
That is itself fairly groundbreaking. But then to add on this layer of good thing her commander's not going to sexually assault her because he's got this other side of him that's going to help stop that. You know? Otherwise, it would definitely be happening, as opposed to maybe he's just not interested in sexually assaulting anybody, because that's also possible.
So that's the scene with Rand afterwards. She was like crying and she's saying, I don't want to get you into trouble. I wouldn't even mention it, which
very
is kind of weird. I thought it was kind of funny, though, like when Fisher goes up to him and because Fisher saw, and then Kirk's
he
like,
sure did.
And Kirk says, it wasn't me. And Fisher says, it was you, sir. So for some reason, it's funny to me that he's still calling him sir. He's accusing him of sexually assaulting someone, but he's still calling him sir.
Still the commanding officer.
It's just kind of funny. It's just kind of weird.
You respect the rank, not the man.
Yeah.
Okay. This is weird. It's weird. It's when that rule kind of like turns itself upside down with me. Oh, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. I like that in Rand's room, we saw that she was a painter. That she did.
Yeah, those were some tight paintings.
It was a reminder that, you know, when you're a kid watching this show, these types of shows, sometimes you don't pay attention to the stuff in the background and all that. It's also like, you know, when you're first seeing the show, you don't necessarily catch everything.
You got to free up some attention to pay attention.
Perhaps.
Is that like a common phrase?
This is the first I've heard.
I just coined it.
All right.
You got to free up some attention to pay attention.
You're the coinster.
Because that's what's really on the rad.
Well, the main point I was making is I do like that a lot of effort was taken to give these characters, even the smaller characters, a lived life, you know, through things in their quarters, through comments they make. You know, we learn a lot about McCoy and Scotty and all these folks over time.
Kirk's got some kind of like encyclopedias.
Yeah, Kirk is a bookworm. He's a nerd.
I wonder how often Bones uses brandy for medicinal purposes.
Well, there wasn't too much left in that bottle.
Well, wasn't that because Kirk drank a lot of it, or was it when he handed it to him? Was it already low?
It looked like it was already like at least halfway. Yeah.
He was so desperate to get that brandy, and then Bones was even Bones was trying to help him, be like, "Oh yeah, what can I get for you, man?" He's like, "Give me the fucking brandy, you asshole!" And he just like, can't chug it fast enough. He's just like walking around like that's serious substance abuse.
And Jesse, you reference it, but that story in brandy bottle, of course, became mega iconic.
Yeah.
And I believe,
and it has a cool like cork hanging on.
I believe it's the lore is just off the top of my head, but I believe it was one of those deals where, you know, the prop people, they just go around. They're always just like buying a bunch of stuff at like yard sales and stuff.
Yeah.
And so
right,
that was a bottle
right,
they found.
Yeah.
But then they were like, wow, that's such a fucking awesome bottle. Then like for the rest of Star Trek, now it's been like, they have to have them like custom made by some special glass blower. It's hugely expensive. The first one costs like $1. All their subsequent ones cost a huge amount because they just need to have them to populate the sets.
If this doesn't work, I don't know what will.
Well. Well, how about this? It's about time for another break. So we will take that break.
It's about time.
And when we return from that break, we will conclude our discussion of the enemy.
Conclude.
Within. Be right back.
Back to that bed, Bucko. Come on, let's go.
And we're back.
Oh no, okay.
Oh, man.
Okay, hold on. Okay, yes. All right, we're back.
Where are we back?
We're back.
Perhaps. Wait a second.
We're getting
are we back?
Jesse said we're back, so
are we back?
We're obligated to be back because Jesse said we're back.
I think we ought to give room service another call.
All right. Do you want to talk about this whole side story with Sulu and gang? Oh, because, man. By the way,
what does it really say? Okay, first of all, they should have, like, just like they shouldn't have beamed up Kirk at the beginning before checking to see if the transporter was okay. Yeah. In this instance, they should have done the opposite. They should have beamed up the crew because making duplicates of them is better than them freezing to death.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
Negative
100
degree
that.
Temperature. Yeah.
Okay. If they went bad, there was enough people in the Enterprise to overwhelm these people. Yeah. They can just bind them down and figure out how to reunite them.
I think we better bind him.
Consider that.
And then everybody fucking lives.
You won't be afraid if you use your mind and think. Think, you can do it. That's it.
Use your mind.
That's the problem. They weren't using their mind.
Can you play that again? The mind bit. I really like that.
You won't be afraid if you use your mind and think. Think, you can do it. That's it.
The cadence and the rhythm is so brilliant.
Rhythm. I was talking about rhythm earlier with that.
There he goes again.
With that long.
There he goes again.
When you asked me to play a clip and a little, did you guys realize I would play a 50-second long clip? But like that was rhythmic too. There's a lot of interesting rhythms.
So here's the deal with the Sulu side story. The B
but I mean,
William
Shatner is always kind of rhythmic.
Story.
Even if you don't exaggerate his, even when without exaggerating his acting style, like he is rhythmic and pretty rhythmic in the way he speaks.
All right. Well,
you were talking about rhythm, so I was just backing your point up.
No, and I appreciate that. You backed it up. Then you backed it up some more.
And then,
and then you backed it up yet again.
Keep on backing it up.
You have done a thorough job buttressing my point. I appreciate that.
No, I backed it up, and then you were like, what? And I had to back it up. So you understand? You're like, what?
I do not believe I ever said
what?
I believe I'm just trying to get to the meat of this point, which is that the author...
Look at my face.
The writer of this episode...
Look at me.
At least the original writer, the first pass guy, said that his script did not have this Sulu business in it, that the other producers added that in. I guess they wanted to create some sort of extra time pressure, perhaps. But in the original version of this, that Sulu stuff wasn't even there. It was all just focused on them dealing with the fact that Kirk was split into two.
I just... Negative 100 degrees. That's when I stopped feeling the pressure because I was like, they're already dead with that. I already went over that.
Do you think it would have been better if they were being
a little more reasonable?
If they were having to fend off some sort of local creatures or enemies. Well, that probably would have
cost more money.
But frost like, giant.
Just make it.
You think it would have cost more money than just
gonna, frost wolves.
Kind of spray some like that tinsel stuff they used to, that asbestos tinsel they used to use on Christmas trees. Just spray that on Sulu and make him look all snuggly in a blanket.
Yeah. Don't make me.
They could have just made it a little warmer, you know, so it was more believable that they were slowly freezing.
Yeah, I agree. First of all, I agree with that. I think a very important point that I watched this episode a couple times. I was not able to suss this out, and forgive me if they explain this more clearly in the episode. If they did, I did not get it. Because earlier on, right, it's like, okay, we got this problem with the transporter because it made these two dogs that we turned in. We took two alive dogs and turned them into one dead dog.
Chief O'Brien!
That was one of the subplots of this episode, right. is how they were able to take two alive dogs and convert it into a single dead dog.
Evidence!
That plot was interesting.
It's just a crazy idea.
And then, of course, they had to deal with like Kirk and his twin and tracing down his bad impulse friend twin. Yeah. But at a certain point, it seemed like that the transporter was fine. It was like, why couldn't they just beam up the guys at that point?
Well, they hadn't fixed it yet.
Yeah, but it kind of seemed like they don't really explain.
Well,
like,
it was the magnetic yellow ore that was causing the issue.
I understand that. But like after the Kirk thing, like, they cleaned it up. They were fixing it all because eventually they transported them back and nobody got converted. And my argument is by the time they're using the transporter to put the two alive dogs and mash them into one dead dog, they must presume the transporter's fixed at that point.
Well, maybe they...
Otherwise, it would have produced four dogs.
Okay. Right? But yep. I think they just put it on a special setting. They didn't know if the normal setting worked properly.
But my point is...
Because before the setting was on split into two, then the setting was on split two into... They combined two into one, but they had not yet mastered the one-to-one.
I think that the logic of this episode is that their concern should have been that we're going to put these two dogs on the transporter pad, and then when we rematerialize them, it will have four dogs.
Yeah.
That'll be like a weird combination of asshole to not asshole spectrum.
But my argument is that it was fucked up, so it was creating doubles. And right, if you have two of them, yes, you create doubles and make four. But they set it, they didn't set it to normal transporter. They set it to opposite mode where you combine two into one.
Okay.
But they had not yet mastered the normal transporter setting.
But I don't know why we don't assume that they had, because they were expecting to get one back. They did get one back.
But that's
from, and then they did get one
they
back.
They got one back from two, though. They didn't get one back from one. They got one, they went 2-1, not 1-1.
I still say, and this is going back to your earlier point, where the risk was nominal, and they seem to have, first of all, I think there's enough visual evidence on the screen that the transporter was already sorted
out. What happened?
And they just decided not to beam Sulu and friends back until after they fixed Kirk. They got it in their heads that we need Captain Kirk to somehow be fixed before we can help Sulu and them.
Yeah,
I just don't. Well, yeah, I'm not convinced.
Okay, I guess
by them not beaming them back.
I could say that they could have been worried about a Tuvix situation, is what I was arguing. If they transported them all in, they turn into one. But you do make an interesting point when you say, why did they decide it was okay after combining Kirk but not killing the dog?
Yeah,
well, because the dog died, so maybe that was why.
Yeah, okay.
He's dead, Jim.
Is that the first, like, he's dead, Jim, is like, it's one of those lines. It's like, beam me up, Scotty, is like, nobody.
Beam me up, Scotty. Like, beam me up.
Beam me up, Scotty, is like a famous line that they never actually. Oh, God.
you've bored Jesse.
Beam me up, Scotty, is like just a famous line that was never actually said.
He didn't say it in that order.
And right, and so he's dead.
He would say, Scotty,
and so
beam me up.
And so he said, he's dead, Jim. Now, I was wondering if that was the same situation, but it's not, because he says it here. And then my question is this the first time? And if it is the first time, is it the only time? Is there any other time they say he's dead, Jim? Is the crux of my question.
No, I do think McCoy says it.
We don't have evidence.
We may play the time.
Evidence!
Thank you. We may have evidence.
Milana's on it.
We can't assert that it's true without knowing for a fact.
Yes, I agree
this
with you.
This is science.
It's sort of logic.
I don't know.
It is science to gather empirical evidence. There was some technobabble in this episode. They didn't have a ton of technobabble in TOS, but this is the closest I think I've heard from TOS in a while.
Framulate.
There shouldn't be more than a 5-point variation in the velocity balance.
It's not intense techno babble, but I think it qualifies.
Yeah, because when McCoy, as I was commenting earlier, he refers to, or no, Scotty is all like, that yellow dust is magnetic, and it's making him freaked out, because, like, why would he be that freaked out by magnets? That just doesn't sound like something you freak out. You think you'd freak out about, like, gloobity-glops or zap-doodle radiation.
Well, I think we're talking about two separate things here. I'm talking about techno babble, and you're talking about yellow ore.
No, I'm talking about the lack of technobabble. You said there's a lack of technobabble, and I said calling something magnetic is not technobabble.
I know, but
it's a lack of technobabble.
This didn't say anything about magnets.
No.
There shouldn't be more than a 5-point variation in the velocity balance.
I am indeed supporting your point by agreeing with you that that is technobabble, and in making your point about that technobabble, you had referred to the fact that they often don't use technobabble because they use terms like magnetic.
He's like an animal. A thoughtless, brutal animal.
Well, he is like an animal because remember when he went all Kirk monkey mode?
When he Kirked out?
Monkey mode Kirk? He goes monkey mode Kirk twice. Do you remember? Can you think of the two times that Kirk goes, evil Kirk goes monkey mode Kirk?
Well, there's one time when he was realizing that he was freaking out because lame Kirk, as you call him, was like saying, I'm the captain. He's like, wait a minute, that's fucked up. Yes. I'm the captain. Yes. I'm the captain, you know. He goes,
I'm the captain. I'm Captain Kirk. I'm the captain. I'm captain of the ship.
So, like, and so
that's not what I was thinking. Monkey Kirk.
Well, that was okay. Well, then I'll finish this thought then, which is that was interesting because that told us he had no idea that there was another Kirk. He thought he was just who he was. And he was freaking out, and he, like, hit some kind of, like, screen, and it, like, flashed on the thing. The screen flashed, like he, like, zapped something. I want to know what kind of special effect that was, or if they really zapped like that, because the screen went... He hit some monitor, and it went, like, and it zapped.
It could have been remastered.
Well, maybe it was remastered.
Here's the deal.
And then the second monkey mode was when he was on the bridge at the end throwing a temper tantrum, when he said...
Christ said, give me the brandy!
Oh, wait, not that one, so not...
You and
not...
I have a different definition of monkey Kirk.
No,
which is... fine.
Give me the brand
name. I didn't explain
it. That wasn't the line I was talking about.
Perhaps you'll understand my definition of Monkey Kirk after I am afforded the opportunity to give my example.
Wait, I always wanted to play the line that I was thinking about the second part.
All right. We'll wait patiently while you scroll up and down your list there on
this
your
one.
Device.
This is my ship! My ship is mine!
That was Kirk throwing a temper tantrum. Yeah. It's mine!
Yes, it was a temper tantrum.
And that was the second, that was at the end when he had super weird lighting. Those were the two monkey moments.
Do you have the well, first of all, I disagree that those are monkey moments because I have my own monkey moments.
That are totally separate from both of mine.
Totally separate from both of yours. Do you have the part where he says, I don't need you? Yeah, I don't need you. There's another, like, evil Kirk, by Kirk. B.I. Kirk.
I don't need you.
Yeah.
I don't need you.
no, Monkey Kirk.
I don't get it.
In my view.
Monkey Kirk.
Okay, so I think I'm not sure what you mean by Monkey Kirk.
Well, I'm in the act.
I'm just defending myself.
There's no need for defense.
No, it's a pre-defense in case anyone listens and is like, wait a second, he's not making any sense. Why do you think that? Well, I'm answering the question that is on everybody's minds right now as they listen.
I'm answering
the one question on everybody's mind.
Nobody's attacking you.
I didn't say anyone was attacking me. I was defending myself saying that my definition of Monkey Kirk was different than yours. That's why our answers are so vastly different.
I didn't say anybody was attacking me, but I was defending myself.
I made an assumption about what you meant by Monkey Kirk without actually thinking about it.
No one is attacking.
I'm not saying you're attacking me. I'm talking because that's what we're doing. We have a podcast where we say things, and just because I say something doesn't mean you can be like, hey, Dan, no one's shitting your, no one's dumping in your mouth, Dan, you know? No one's doing that.
And dumping in your mouth.
And until a few minutes ago, nobody was judging you either.
I see, you're doing it again. You're doing it again. You're pushing buttons.
No, okay, monkey.
You're pushing buttons.
You've provided your definition, totally good definition.
Fuck you.
And those are good scenes. Those are interesting. I enjoy those things. But when I was thinking of Monkey Kirk, I was thinking of two other incidents. One incident was when Kirk did the piggyback attack on that guy, that crewman who was trying to report him. Because remember,
Wilson. Yeah. You're talking about Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson. So he said, Wilson. So he's
that's nippy.
So he's that evil Shatner is attempting to sexually assault Janice Rand. She opens the door. Wilson's out there, sees what's going on.
I thought that was Fisher.
Was that Wilson or Fisher?
Well, Wilson is Fisher saw him, but he beat up Wilson.
Okay, whatever it was. Wilson's got, no, but Fisher maybe is the one who reported it. But regardless, the guy who was trying to report him to Spock on the intercom, Kirk leaps up on him with a monkey like piggyback attack and brings the guy down. But for a second, the guy is just like holding on to Shatner, being all like, "What the fuck? What's going on?" Like Shatner's just like jumped onto him, like completely off the floor.
See, when you said
that was Monkey.
See, when
Kirk.
You said Monkey Man, I was thinking he was wild like a monkey.
No, this was just, he was actually like hopping around like a monkey. The other time he was Monkey Kirk was
primate fashion.
I was in my notes, I say Monkey Kirk in the rafters, but what I really mean to say is when he's like
Monkey
working,
Kirk
he's
on
like
the
he was walking along the tops of the computer mainframes in engineering, and he was all skulking about, and then he all like dropped down, like monkey style,
monkey style.
He was all like scooting around. That was the second instance.
Was he scooting
monkey,
around? Was he like
Kirk.
Cleaning his anal gland and scooting along the carpet?
Scooting.
Is Kirk doing that?
Dan, I believe we have talked off the air. I've mentioned repeatedly. I've asserted that I will never bring up dogs scratching their anuses along the carpet on the podcast.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So if you ever think that's what I'm talking about, I am not talking about that.
You were acting like a wild man.
I might be talking about something else, but not that. Yeah. So that was Monkey Kirk in the rafters.
Monkey Kirk on the rad.
Monkey Kirk is definitely not on the rad. Yeah, so we talked a little bit about the whole like dark light binary thing, but that's part of what I think undercuts this episode just a little bit for me, because you have to buy into that. If you buy into that, then you can enjoy this story and everything makes sense and it turns into a somewhat interesting philosophical discussion with this crazy scenario.
There were some interesting points, but like
100%, 100%.
But like you said, it was they were heavy on they kept drilling that point home, and they were a little heavy on the pop psychology aspect, but there were a couple interesting points, like the one I mentioned earlier about McCoy saying, like, well, it's actually the logical side that has more courage. Yeah. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it sounded cool. I thought it sounded fun, you know?
I guess I get nervous whenever there's sort of a proposition that certain...
that you sort of assert that a certain personality trait is the result of some kind of
I mean because personality is such a complicated thing, and there's interactions between biology and psychology, and psychology which is influenced by culture and experience.
Well, I guess I was more interested by the idea of like Bad Impulse Kirk was assertive and they said that he may be assertive and strong-willed, but it's the logical one that has more courage. And whether like that may be total bullshit, but I just thought it was interesting that what is it called when you compare two things that are opposite?
A comparison?
Yeah, maybe. Juxtaposition?
Sure?
Is it juxtaposition?
Oh, yeah, well, there is a juxtaposition.
Juxtaposition between, like, this idea of being strong-willed and powerful versus, like, that's not what actually makes you brave.
But I think that's part of the problem is that it is an attempt at a juxtaposition, but it's sort of hard to buy it because at varying times, the assertive Kirk is actually the fearful one. He's the one cowering and shrieking and crying.
No, that's the point that McCoy was making.
No, I understand, but it's just sort of like it's a point they're making that sort of in some ways doesn't make sense because it's hard to disaggregate these different things from each other.
Yeah, that's right.
And thinking of personality as a series of like Lego, like discrete Lego blocks.
Or Minecraft blocks. Or Roblox.
It also has
they're like Roblox
subtle implicit hints of other Robot. Sort of biologically driven
eugenics.
Idea. Yeah, I'm getting to like that's what I'm getting at is that you can have like subhuman people or whatever who don't have these characters. You know, I don't know. It's just like there's like aspects to it that are a little bit skeevy. Mm-hmm. But that aside, it is fun and engaging. And it's great to see Shatner go around and do his thing. Even if it's got this slightly odd like B, C, D plot, whatever, with the freezing people that you only go to occasionally.
Yeah.
Freezing people?
Yes, the freezing. See, you don't even remember. It's such a useless plot that you talked about it earlier and you don't remember
people. Are you talking about the people on the planet?
Yes, freezing. The freezing people.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, it's a perfect reaction because...
No, I just didn't know. I was thinking about like Mr. Freeze with the freeze gun or
Meet
something.
The Freeze?
If only. It was I think you should chill out.
It was pretty intense when what would you call it? Bad Impulse Kirk?
Yeah.
Monkey Man Kirk? When he was when Vulcan Jesus Christ It was interesting.
You won't be afraid if you use your mind. Yes. Think. Think. You can do it. That's it.
It was interesting when Spock did the Vulcan neck pinch on Evil Kirk. Totally. And then his phaser went off and it was clearly set to kill, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, blew that big fucking hole in that fucking
That was
shit.
Really dramatic. Because he was going like, ah! And then he like zapped that thing.
Yeah.
I think I had that sound somewhere. I don't know what it follows, but it follows something. Was it this?
Yeah, you know what? I think it was.
But like, it was just this image of him like freaking out. Like, I thought there was some effective, the imagery was really effective. I thought like the visuals and the stuff like that. There was some really heavy stuff like going on with that.
Do you have the line where he says, I want to live? I want to live.
Yes, I do have that.
Have you played that yet?
And I will play it for you right here.
I want to live. I want to live. I want to live. I want to live.
Interesting.
I want to live.
Interesting delivery.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
I didn't.
Which you haven't.
I'm Captain Kirk. I'm the captain.
Dan, you know what?
Look at my face.
You know what, Dan?
Yeah.
You are the living end.
Oh!
All right. Quick, before we get to any odds and ends or bits and bobs, because we got to close things down here.
Right away, Captain.
I did want to discuss the end scene, because we didn't actually get to it earlier, even though it relates to the earlier business. The end scene with Kirk and Rand. So Yeoman Rand comes up to Kirk and Kirk is all like, blah, blah, you know, whatever. That whole exchange happens. And then Yeoman Rand gives him like this look like, hey, I'm down to clown. Even though you're my boss. Is that what we're supposed to take away with that?
I don't...
Because then Spock is like... Spock is all like, hey, there were certain parts of that rapist Kirk that were pretty hot.
Okay, this is what...
Is that what he's saying?
Okay. I didn't think of it like that, but I was very confused when Spock... Because what Spock says...
Spock is like, I'm down to clown too.
No, Spock says... He goes up to her and says, the imposter had some interesting qualities. Wouldn't you say, Yeoman? And I remember thinking like, what does that even fucking mean?
Yeah.
I didn't put it together.
It's
like,
fucked up.
They were trying to set up a three-way or something?
Well, but I don't know. But I don't know it because Yeoman Rand was looking at Kirk like... Because Kirk was, you know, it was all like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, the twin of me, you know, tried to sexually assault you and traumatized you. And I'm your boss. Yeah. And the boss of the whole
thing. It's the way I am.
And then she's giving him this look like, not only like, don't worry about it, but like, hey, I'm like down with the fact that part of you was into me. She was like trying to be all like, I'm not into being sexually assaulted, but I am down to clown. And I think that's sort of hugely offensive, maybe.
It's not really ugly. It's human.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then
I'd have to watch it again.
Spock being all like, yeah. Yeah, that fucking, that guy.
I thought, I'd have to watch it again for what you're talking about, but yes, what Spock said I thought was highly inappropriate.
It was weird. At the very minimum, it was because, and especially in the context of, I know this is early Star Trek, literally fifth episode, but...
That's nippy.
TOS had the habit of ending the episode on a lighthearted, charming little... So like, I guess that's what they were sort of going for here, but it's not funny to be like, okay, I was sexually assaulted by somebody who looked identical to my boss. It turns out it's a part of my boss, and in the philosophy that the show follows.
Do you think it was implying that it confirmed Rand's suspicions that Kirk would get busy with her?
Yes, exactly.
That's awful.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an awful implication.
No, yeah, 100%. It makes me hugely uncomfortable. And it's sort of shocking to sort of process, and it makes it difficult to fully enjoy this episode when you take that
obstacle
sort of thing into account. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
I would say it's convenient that the lame Kirk got a scratch on his face in addition to Bad Impulse Kirk, because
at one point it was on the wrong side.
Because when they combined into each other, What would have happened if only one of them had gotten a scratch? How would they have combined together? Would they have had? Would he have had a scratch? Would he have not had a scratch? Or would it have been a half?
He doesn't have a
would
scratch.
Would it be a half scratch?
He doesn't have a scratch when he gets back
together. He does. He does have a scratch at the end. When
really?
When he gets put back together, he has a scratch.
And which I'm saying, side is the scratch on?
I don't remember.
Because the scratch just shows up on different sides.
No, it's the same side.
No, at one point.
I saw it. It's the same side.
Is it more on his nose? One point,
they were facing different directions.
Yeah, but on one point it was...
It was on the right cheek, I think, at both times.
On the right cheek?
Yeah. You're just thinking because you saw them...
Was it on your right cheek?
I believe you. That's possible.
So I'm saying if only one of them had a scratch and they combined back together, would you get no scratch? Would you get full scratch? Or would you get half scratch?
Half scratch.
Half scratch. Which would you get? Nobody will ever know what the writers would have decided to do in that scenario.
Sounds like you're listing the menu at some sort of cat spa.
Cat spa.
Fancy cat spa.
Give me the half scratch.
Give me a half scratch.
I have two half scratches and a full scratch.
That's what I have to do. Look at me. Look at my face. And you lose command.
All right.
That's what I have to do.
All right.
That's what I have to do.
Any odds and ends or
what
bits
I have
and bobs?
To do.
I think I covered most of the...
That's what I have to do.
Most of the things that I saw.
That's what I have to do.
How about you guys?
It's what I have to do.
Look at my face.
It's what I have to do.
Look at me.
All your have you played?
It's what
all
I have
things?
To do. Look at me.
Hey Jesse.
It's what I have to do.
Hey.
Dan's doing that thing again. All right, I'll take that as a sign that there are no bits and bobs.
There is one more
the
thing.
Healing rays. Oh, good.
There's
I'm
a
glad.
Duty or no duty.
Oh, I did not know there was a duty or
Ooh.
No duty.
There's a no duty or no. Okay,
I'm excited
here we
about
go.
This.
I'm back to duty status, Fisher.
Ah, interesting.
Duty status.
Yeah.
Duty status.
Duty.
Play it again. The full context.
I'm back to duty status, Fisher.
Duty.
That's tricky. That I could go either way, but that's definitely could be a duty.
I think
so. I can't. I cannot with. With an honest, stout heart, I could not...
You can't deny that duty.
I could not say no duty. I would be more comfortable saying duty. Duty.
Yeah,
duty.
I agree. It's definitely... To me, it's definitely no question a duty.
Rare agreement among we three.
So here's a disagreement. There are two disagreements between the clothes.
So he said there was one more thing.
I forgot.
It seems like there's two more things.
They're quick.
Danny Columbo. Two more things.
There's a difference between closed captioning and Chakotea.net.
Yes, there
here's
is.
Here's number one. Chakotea, according to Chakotea.net, mm-hmm. this would be a duty or no duty. Now listen very carefully. It's
okay.
hard to hear.
All right.
Section duty officers, please check communication lines.
Section duty officers.
I'm going to play just brief part.
Section duty officers, please...
Right, it's really hard to hear.
It's hard to hear.
I say no duty.
I would say duty.
I'd say that it's a question of whether it is duty or no duty. It's neither duty nor no duty. It is not no duty and duty. Anyway, according to Chakotea, that's a duty, but a duty. But according to closed captioning, they weren't saying...
Did they say duty? I would love for the closed captioning to just be like D-O-O-D-Y.
So Chakotea says section duty officers, whereas closed captioning said section to the officers. Mm.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
This is clearly section duty officers.
And then, it doesn't, in section two, the officers doesn't make, there's another one. When they talk about planet Alpha 177,
okay.
in Chakotea, they spell alpha like you'd expect, A-L-P-H-A. But in the closed captioning, they spell alpha, A-L-F-A.
No!
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
We alfalfa sprouts?
Yeah.
So the captions are shit.
Yeah, they were shit. Mm. That's what I'm going to go with.
Okay, now, before we,
Some kind of savage, ferocious opposite.
Ferocious.
Before we get to the next stage of things here, Dan, I just want to double check.
What are you going
to
do?
I guess technically I should check with Jesse as well, but definitely want to check with you, Dan. Is there anything else? Do you want to play any other sounds? Are you going to be all like, wait.
wait, one more thing.
Or is it all good?
That's nippy.
All right. We're just going to skip over that whole that's nippy thing. I think
you're going to cut those out?
No. I'm just going to say I wanted to make a comment about it, and I've decided I don't want to make a comment about it.
Oh, now I want to know what that comment is.
Don't worry about it. all right. So Dan's done. Jesse's done.
I'd say so.
So I will conclude this podcast.
Let's conclude.
We have finished talking about the episode The Enemy Within.
We've both been... pretending too long.
Next week, we do not know yet. But if you look at our website, www.itsgotstartrek.com, or check us out on social media at symbol It's Got Star Trek.
He wants you to think that he's Captain Kirk.
We'll let you know what we're going to watch, what we'll discuss. Probably it's going to be an Enterprise or a DS9.
Grab him! He'll destroy the ship!
We're due one of those. So keep an eye out, and if you don't know, just watch all of those in the intervening time.
He could choke on that.
Grab him! He'll destroy the ship!
This is Jesse's new... Jesse got this new sign-off. He's like,
I suggest we send the animal through.
My name's Jesse, and you can choke on that.
When they said, let's send...
I suggest we send the animal
when
through.
When they said, let's send the animal through, I thought first they were talking about Kirk, because they referred to... said that Kirk was acting like...
He's like an animal.
He referred to Kirk as an animal, yeah. But then when they said, send the animal through...
You can put that in your pipe and smoke it.
When they said, send the animal through, I thought they were talking about Kirk, but they were actually talking about the literal animal, the unicorn bug dog.
All right. We'll discuss DS9 and Enterprise next week.
Coadjutor engagement.
What's a coadjutor?
It'll be fun.
It's a nothing.
I want to look up coadjutor.
So again, you can find us on all the social medias, you know, with the Twitters and all that, and you can get us on YouTube.
A coadjutor is a bishop.
Facebook.
A bishop appointed to assist a bishop, a diocesan bishop. I don't know how to pronounce that, and often designated as his successor. And then Spock had a coadjutor adjustment, coadjutor engagement.
Right. You can also email us at feedback.
Coadjutor engagement.
Feedback
yeah.
at itsgotstartrek.com.
Engage the coadjutor.
You got to fight him.
And you can write us a feedback. And for example, if you want to ask...
That's like techno babble. What is a coadjutor?
If you want to ask about
sounds
a coadjutor...
like theological babble.
Yes, yeah. If you'd like to talk
except
about...
with like science, science fiction, like tools, science fiction tools, right. Instead of...
If you'd like to continue this good discussion with Dan, just send an email to feedback at itsgotstartrek.com.
Like a burnout.
I'll forward it along to him and...
what's the matter with me?
You can be a guest on our show.
Yeah, we can have a whole, you know, it's got the Inter-Nicene Creed or whatever, I don't know.
What's the matter with me?
Some sort of whatever theological stuff.
We have an imposter aboard.
It'd be a whole different thing. All right, that's enough for this week.
Yeah.
That has been It's Got Star Trek. We'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
He's dead, Jim.
You're so crazy.
Kirk here, Mr. Sulu.
Outline director to the captain. Are we that far gone?
I gave everybody the afternoon off. I'm watching the store.
How is it down there?
Oh, lovely. Except that the frost is building up. We're using hand phasers to heat the rocks. One phaser quit on us. Three still operating. Any possibility of getting us back aboard before the skiing season opens down here?